We return to all you need to know about trucking. This is Road Dogg Live with KC Phillips.
We're back. Hey, welcome back into Road Dogg Live. Cruising down the interstate with you on a listener-loaded Monday. Sitting in is Tim Norlin, and he is of Rail Transport. If you guys want to give a call, we're talking a little bit about things going on under the tent up in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
The land of cheese.
Soon you will be there.
I am going to be there,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, we're looking forward to having you.
When is that?
It's in early October.
Early October. I can't wait. Yeah. Hopefully I can take in some of the local culture.
We're making plans now. It's a big event.
You got a dairy farm I can visit?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, a working dairy farm. We're going to give you a tour of the cheese factory. We might even find you a microbrewer too.
Ooh, I think I could do it.
Yeah.
Awesome. If you guys want in, jump in. 8888 Road Dogg. Yes, we'll be doing a live broadcast in October, and I hope I get to meet Rick.
You will.
Okay.
For sure you will.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That'll be a good time. Let's go ahead and grab some phone calls. If you want in, I do have some open lines. 8888 Road Dogg. Got questions for Tim if you're potentially looking for a change right now. We'd love to talk with you. Fozzie is up next. Hey, Fozzie. Waka, waka, waka.
Hey, waka, waka, Casey. How are you doing, Mr. Norlin? How are you, sir?
I'm well. How are you?
Doing well. I've got a couple of questions for you, if you don't mind.
Sure.
The one you said that on your West Coast, I'm out of Utah, so on your West Coast, you only do flatbed. Is that correct?
We do have some refrigerated out of Utah, so you live in a good spot. If you're right in that Salt Lake City area, we've got quite a healthy refrigerated freight base in the Salt Lake City area. But that freight is going to be coming back to the Midwest.
Which is fine. I mean, and your drivers don't have to go back weekly, right? They can choose how they go back home, or
right, correct. Now, out of Utah on the reefer fleet, that would be what we call our national fleet. You'd be out 11 to 14 days or longer. It's the choice is yours. Minimum of 11. Some drivers stay out even longer than that and accumulate their time off.
Yeah, okay, because my way I like to do it is be out for at least 4 weeks to 6 weeks and then be home for a full week.
Yep. We have a lot of drivers that do that.
Okay, and then my next question is, do you hire people that have gone through the SAP program, that have completed and finished the SAP program?
So I'll just tell you this, we evaluate every single applicant that we get based on the merits of that application, their experience level, how long it's been, etc. I can't give you an absolute
correct
yes or an absolute no because there's too many variables, but yes, we will give you a fair shake.
Gotcha. Awesome. I appreciate your time. Thank you for that. And have a good time in October in that cheese party.
All right.
A cheese party.
The cheese party.
All right, Fozzie. Hey, man, thank you. And good job getting through that SAP program. I know that a lot of folks deal with substance abuse, and the SAP program is there for guys to get a leg up and get back in the game.
You know, the sad thing, and this is me personal, this is nothing to do with rail, but, you know, all the states that have legalized marijuana and the folks that have used it recreationally, and, you know, it's still a prohibited drug under FMCSA, and it's burned a lot of drivers, and I think the industry needs to
a lot of drivers.
Yep, the industry needs to look at that and make some changes there. I mean, I'm still a hard no on the hard stuff, but you know, let's not burn a bunch of people just simply because they did some recreational drugs in the past.
Well, I think one of the big challenges for the trucking industry has been the Drug and Alcohol Clearinghouse.
Absolutely.
It has definitely changed a lot of games for a lot of fleets out there. Did it impact you guys?
It did. It absolutely did. Yeah. Yep, it sure did.
So giving guys a pathway back in with good behavior and proving that you're substance-free is, I think, the best thing we can do for the driving
absolutely
community.
I agree with
you. A lot of drivers said, screw it. You know, screw these people. I'm not gonna do it with this level of oversight. But here's another thing. The industry, the marijuana industry and the CBD industry, they've done many people a disservice by mislabeling their products.
Yes.
Saying that this product contains no THC, when in fact, they don't even know how much THC is in it.
Right, until the driver pops positive on a drug test and goes, oh, I don't do drugs. Oh, wait a minute. I had an achy knee and I put some CBD oil on it. And man, that hurts. I hate to say that.
Yep. So those types of scenarios, I think, would be most likely the easiest person to go through the SAP? And in that situation, how would Rail evaluate that applicant?
You know, until the laws change, it's on the table, but we've got to see the industry change a little bit. And obviously, we want to see some time between when the positive occurred and you know, how much time has elapsed, and did they complete the SAP and gone through all the post SAP drug screens, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So, okay. But like I said, we look at every individual individually.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
Let's keep talking about it. Looks like Kevin is with us next. Hey, Kevin, you got some comments for us?
Hey, Casey, how you doing?
Well, I'm good, buddy.
You remember me and Olivia? We was talking about we was entered this out program falsely.
Yes,
and I was just going to ask. I was going to call in, and by the way, saying hi to your guest,
Tim.
Tim. You said that y'all work with people on that, because we were basically, KC could probably tell you a little more about our situation, falsely accused, and I just wanted to know about how do y'all evaluate that?
Well, the evaluation is, were you flagged? Was it a positive? If you were forced to complete a SAP, it's because some MRO somewhere said you did drugs and you popped positive, and they interview every driver before they make that ruling and before they report it to the clearinghouse. So
wasn't your situation a refusal, Kevin?
That's what he classified it as, was a refusal. But the thing about it was, we were already quit that company before he classified it.
It was in a transition process.
Gotcha.
And he had actually showed up. Now I'm remembering your story.
Okay.
You showed up to take your drug test, but then on the reporting, he got dinged for a refusal.
Yeah, those are tough because unfortunately under the regs, we have to treat a refusal just like we do a positive, even though there was no drug test. That's another one of those gray areas that I think needs to be revisited. But that's a tough one for you, because I'm sure you've had a tough go of it trying to find a carrier.
Would you recommend that Kevin apply, though, to have a look at it?
I recommend everybody apply. Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
Well, me and my wife, we've already applied for them to look into it and all that kind of stuff. But actually, DOT said that there's no, or the clearinghouse said that there's no way to investigate basically a refusal. Is basically what they said. So we're basically hung up on, we're trying to get lawyers and stuff like that to get involved. But I've been driving for several years, and it's just pretty much run our chances on trying to get jobs where we might want to be able to apply.
Yeah.
So, it's just sort of lingering over our heads.
Sure.
Is basically what's going on.
Well, keep swinging away at it, chip away at it, and, hopefully eventually things will change for you, and you'll have that opportunity.
And basically, a lot of these people that entered the SAP program, a lot of them, I really, really don't think that this many drivers are actually testing positive. I'm thinking a lot of it's just human error, a lot of it.
It could be,
And that's why we got such a driver shortage right now, and nobody ever shows back up to the industry. Mm-hmm. It's because they don't want to have to go through, or they don't have the money to actually go through the SAP program. So, and it's pretty expensive for anybody that has to go through that SAP program.
Sure.
I mean, it is. It costs me and my wife every bit of $1,500 a piece to enter it. And then we had having to take five drug screens and all this kind of mess. I mean, it's just very, very hard. And I can understand that if drivers, some of them have left the industry, it's only because of that specific thing, I understand there's a lot of people that probably are or have used, but I mean, I just think a lot of it, they're going to have to evaluate all that, SAP and the cleared house and all that kind of stuff. I just wish they would look into stuff like that, because But anyway, KC, I appreciate y'all letting me on the show.
Thanks, Kev. Good luck. Keep fighting that fight.
Yeah.
Why would a couple show up for a drug screen if they knew that they were going to pop a positive? And that's the whole...
That's where the refusal comes in. But but if they showed up, they weren't worried about it. So that's a shame. That's one of those that falls through the cracks there. That's a tough thing.
It's one of those things that we got to deal with. It's just trucking.
Well,
you know it?
Yeah.
So
there's an issue there. The other issue is, you know, how miles are calculated.
Right.
Especially now.
Well, and we're going to talk. We got to take a break real quickly.
Okay.
But when we come back, let's get into that because I'm very interested to hear your thoughts on how you're calculating miles at rail.
Sure.
When we get back, Road Dog Live is going to be back with Tim Norland, Vice President of Driver Employment with Rail. If you guys want to get in, we got some room for you. 888-876-2336-8888. Road Dog, and we'll be right back.